You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Congratulations. You found it.
You know what time it is.
This is New York Game Day. It's 3 hours of the most informative and entertaining NFL news in the league. Now here's former NFL defensive lineman Chris Canty, former Jets GM and ESPN insider Mike Tannenbaum, and your host, Anita Marks.
All right, New York Game Day here on 98.7 ESPN. Just like the gentleman said, Anita Marks, Mike Tannenbaum, Chris Canty off this week, but will be back with us next week. So, good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing well, Anita. I usually get called Michael when I do something wrong, like my mother growing up. Like, I was Mike until I did something wrong, and then it was Michael. So, I got to make sure I remain on my best behavior for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, that would be good. So as you know, I have five dogs. So my baby is Frankie. And when he does something wrong, I call him Franklin. And his tail goes in between his legs and his eyes go down. And then I have another dog named Satchmo. I named him after Louis Armstrong. I lived in New Orleans for 3 years. I'm a jazz freak. So I call him Momo. When he does something wrong, I say, Satchmo. Same thing. Tail goes down, ears go down. So yes, I will not call you Michael.
Speaking of Franklin doing bad things, James Franklin has some questions to answer today about the end of that Indiana-Penn State game and what an epic ending to that, and what a great day of college football.
Talk about an epic ending. Were you watching the World Series last night? Did you see what happened in the Rays Dodgers game? Oh my gosh.
You know, I grew up in the Northeast between New York and Boston, and I never thought I'd see anything crazier than that 86 World Series between the Mets and the Red Sox. But I think what happened last night was just indescribable, to have two errors between a center fielder and a catcher in the most simplistic play is just epic.
Unbelievable. So Rays won that game last night. Last play of the game, like Mike said, two errors on the part of the Dodgers. And Rays score. Be honest with me. When he, and I'm blanking on the name of the Rays player. When he turned third and he tripped and he fell, did you not think of Daniel Jones? Be honest. Did you not think? Daniel Jones when he turned and fell as he was rounding third? Am I the only one?
No. I was watching our ESPN colleague Jay Harris this morning on SportsCenter, who as he was rounding third, invoked Daniel Jones. So poor Daniel Jones. I mean, guy gets up to 21 miles an hour in an NFL game, which is really hard to do. 21 miles an hour is really, that is hauling. And that's not what he'll be known for in that play.
No. I just hope it doesn't live up to the butt fumble, Mike. I really hope it doesn't. But anyway, a great way to open that door, and let's walk right through it. Giants fans should be a little concerned today. Again, nothing confirmed. This is all allegedly. Got to state that. Allegedly, both Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones were out in the city on Friday night at a bar without masks. And so the Giants are investigating this. Apparently there was a video out on social media. Apparently there were photographs out on social media. Since then, the guy who posted the photographs have said that those photographs were taken last year, not this year. Not sure he's being honest. Apparently he's a Giants fan, doesn't want to get these guys in trouble. But the Giants are investigating. I would imagine that the NFL is investigating, because, Mike, we know the NFL is taking COVID very seriously, and rightfully so. So if in fact, both Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones were out on Friday night in the city without masks, there can be some repercussions that could come down the peak. Are you hearing anything about this, Mike? Do you know anything more on this?
Well, like you said, they'll certainly investigate. They are taking it very seriously, and this is a tough one for me, because, you know, these guys have almost like a mini bye week, and they want to go out with their teammates, which is one of the more special things about being on a team, especially in New York, you know, you just it's a great reminder for them that their responsibility and the scrutiny that comes with being stars of an NFL team in New York, it's just a higher bar. So, you know, there's other people that could take masks off in certain situations or not socially distance, which, you know, right now in our society, we need to do more of, not less of. But, you know, with those positions, Anita, comes more scrutiny and more accountability. And hopefully it's a lesson they learn once and we can move on from it. But, you know, fines could happen. You know, just looking at what's going around the league right now, it just seems like there's a much higher degree of scrutiny, as you mentioned.
Again, it is New York game day. We're going to dive into this Jets matchup. But first, new report that just came out here. Buffalo Bills place four, including tight end Dawson Knox, on reserve COVID list 19. I knew about Dawson. I'm trying to call up some of the other players. Fellow tight end Lee Smith, Nate Becker, Tommy Sweeney were all in close contact with Knox. We're also placed on reserve COVID 19. They have just two tight ends on their roster, Tyler Kroft and rookie Reggie Gilman. Blah, 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 blah. Multiple players registered positive test in August, as well as including Josh Allen. They were quickly deemed false positives. So, because we have Ira. Ira, I see you. We're going to get your call, Ira. Hang tight. But I was kind of turned on to this news because of Ira's call. Let's recap the Giants. Let's look forward and let's preview what's going on with this Jets game. There are a number of guys on this Buffalo Bills roster that are not going to be active today. John Brown being one of them, but Gabriel Davis has stepped up in a big way when John Brown has not been able to perform for the Buffalo Bills. But you've got a number of their DBs. Josh Norman is going to be out. Tre'Davious White is dealing with a back issue. Not sure if he's going to be active today. Milano, their linebacker, again, big question mark there if he's going to be active. But, Mike, I mean, with all these injuries to the Buffalo Bills, the Jets are just god awful. So, you know, does it balance out? Especially, I buried the lead. Jamison Crowder is doubtful for today, and to me, Jamison Crowder, he's the star. He's the straw that stirs the drink offensively for the Jets. So, based on the injuries that we know on both sides of the ball, are you giving the Jets a chance today to beat the Buffalo Bills here in town?
Yeah, I mean, you would certainly say so. Like, you just went over all those injuries. I mean, when you start talking about people like, you know, Cody Ford, who's a really good offensive lineman, you know, Norman, Tre'Davious White, John Brown, I do think they hit on Gabriel, which is a really good pick for them. But, yeah, I think you have to give the Jets a chance. And you look, Crowder is going to be out, but if they get back Mims, I think he's going to be a really interesting guy to watch. You know, if I'm a Jet fan, you know, Jeff Smith continues to come on. You know, Ira mentioned him last week as well. So, look, you're getting your quarterback back. And, again, we've talked about this before, Anita. You know, if you're Sam Darnold, at some point, these players are far from perfect. Would I rather see Le'Veon Bell out there than Frank Gore or Michael P. Ryan at this point? Absolutely. But you know what? What you just enumerated about the Buffalo Bills, that's what every team is dealing with week to week. You know, I don't know if we'll have time to get into that Raider offensive line situation. That's just the world we're living in this year. So, yeah, the Jets should have a chance, absolutely, based on what's happening.
Also, expectation is that Sam Darnold is going to get the start today. You know, dealing with the shoulder issue, we saw Joe Flacco for 2 weeks. How does that change things for you in this matchup? I mean, listen, prior to him going out with a shoulder injury, it wasn't like he was blowing the doors off anyone, and he has been on the shelf for 2 weeks. What are your expectations for Sam Darnold today, Mike?
I think the biggest difference in watching those two players right now between Darnold and Flacco is it just seems to me like Joe has really become a stationary player. He is really one-dimensional. You got to block it up and take shots. It was interesting. Like, you could clearly see what the Jets were trying to do last week against Miami, which was try to get the ball down the field to Perryman one-on-one and get chunk plays that way. You know, it was, you could just see, you know, there was just some rust there, Anita. You know, Flacco hasn't played much again. No preseason for anybody. And you could tell, like, they were just a little bit off. But I think, to answer your question, the one thing we're going to be able to see is if Buffalo plays man-to-man, which, you know, they may say, we don't need to do that, and we'll play zone, and we'll just keep all the eyes, you know, we'll let checkdowns happen, keep all our eyes on Darnold. But if they get into a situation where they could force Buffalo to play some man-to-man on third downs, now all of a sudden he can make some plays with his feet, and maybe that's another way they can generate some offense today.
You know, this is a Buffalo Bills team coming in two disappointing losses, not one but two, against Kansas City and the Tennessee Titans. Josh Allen has not been right. And, you know, just kind of looking at the X's and O's, you know, I think a big reason here is, you know, both teams that they went up against have kind of shut down the long ball for him. And that's really been a lot of his bread and butter in really stretching the field and getting those, you know, explosive plays connected with both Diggs and Gabriel Davis. And I think also, I think John Brown being injured, you know, even though John Brown isn't a number one wide receiver, he's a really important piece in the offense that they're running now for Josh Allen that's giving him so much success. So are you looking at this game more so, this is exactly what the doctor ordered for the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen? Or are you looking at this game more so like, wow, this is an opportunity for the Jets to get their first win against a division opponent that's not at 100%? Which way are you leaning more?
I think more positive for the Jets. You know, Brian Poole has played pretty well for them on the back end. So I think there's some progress, you know, when you look at their secondary. I'm still really intrigued by this Ashton Davis. You know, he's a really good athlete. We'll see how he plays, but, you know, if he could come along, he certainly has the range, Anita. You know, him and Marcus May, the outside corners, that's you know, they're struggling there. And I know that what that does is that takes away with Greg Williams wants to pressure. You know, that's what he's known for. It's hard to pressure when you're really holding on the back end, and those outside corners have just been really, let's be generous here, up and down. You know, Austin, certainly, you know, Pierre Desir has been just absolutely like feast or famine. So that to me is if I'm Greg Williams, I got to play a little bit more of a cover two shell. I got to keep those safeties back and try to, as you said, prevent the deep ball. But the other thing that Josh Allen does that the Jets have been very inconsistent at is containing the other team's quarterback in terms of like keeping him in the pocket, setting the edge. Now, with that said, last week they really did a good job against Miami on third down, so their third down defense was better. But would I be concerned about it if I was the Jets today on defense is, one, getting the ball thrown over my head with those corners, even though they may not have John Brown, and secondly, making sure that Josh Allen doesn't beat us with our feet.
Mike and Ira, I see you. Ira, you'll be first up. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll hear from Jets fans right now, 800-919-3776. I do want to take a look at the AFC East. As we know, the Bills taking on the Jets. The Patriots are going up against San Francisco. The Dolphins are on a bye week and have announced that it is Tua time. So Mike and I will dive into some AFC talk with you as well. We'll take your calls, 800-919-3776. But before we go to break, Mike, I want you to marinate in this. There's a lot of talk and a lot of expectation that the Jets are going to get the number one pick. And if they do, take Trevor Lawrence. And if that's the case, potentially trade Sam Darnold. So I'm curious, if you were the GM of this team, knowing that that's a realistic possibility, I mean, the FPI percentage is, you know, better than any team out there that they land the number one pick. How risky is it that Sam Darnold is back in action? You know, how much of a risk is it for a team that potentially is looking to trade Sam Darnold, allow him to start today against the Buffalo Bills? Marinate in that. I'd love to hear your response.
If you just break the huddle and line up, you are playing one-handed. You've already given the defense an advantage. Like, their lack of creativity with formation, emotions is a joke. I can go down the street and watch high school football, and they will be more in tune to what is at an advantage offensively right now in football. Cool. Is motions and changing formations at the snap, right before the snap. You just line up and tell the defense, because just like, defenses are smart. Hey, when we line up and they've got that slot receiver, Berrios, when he's in the slot, and it's 2x2, he's going to run three different routes. Great, cool. I got that, coach. Like, I can cover that. Or on third and three, can we stop running 2- and 3-man pick games? Can we do something else on third and short that other than is a pick game or a rub? Because the defense knows it's coming. Like, every fatal flaw that you don't want to make on offense, there's a consistent violation of that.
That is Dan on Get Up. He's so good. You must have so much fun working with him, Mike. Dan Orlovsky. By the way, you know, a lot of people know how much I play golf. If I had a dollar for every time somebody said, hey, how about we get a game with you and Dan Orlovsky? I'm like, what am I? What do you mean? How about me? So funny. Anyway, this is a look inside the numbers brought to you by Coors Seltzer. So, Mike, before we get to the calls, Ira and Chris, I see you guys will be first up, 800-919-3776. I'm throwing this out here, right? Like, I'm trying to connect the dots. Jets stink, very well could end up with the number one overall pick. If they do, looking to trade Sam Darnold, risky to play him today? If you're the GM, do you have any concerns with that, Mike?
No, you got to play your best players. You've already traded away Jamal Adams. You've traded away Le'Veon Bell, or, you know, moved on from him. And then you look at guys like C.J. Mosley opting out. That's no fault of anyone there. But in my opinion, you want to play as many of your good players as possible to win as many games as you can. They did trade Steve McClendon for a late-round pick, and there's always obviously the balance of trying to plan for the future. But you have a locker room and a fan base, you know, for this year, and you obviously have a coaching staff that's trying to scratch together as many positive things as possible to win. So I don't, to me, look, injuries are part. It's part of the fabric of the league. We all know that, but I think you just have to play your best players, and if you don't, it just sends the wrong message.
All right, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're up. Welcome in. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Anita. Good morning, Mike. How are you? I got a question for both of you, Justin Fields, but first I got to get to the Jet game. Mike, you remember back in 97, you know, Jets were going good. The Parcells turned around, a couple of games left. And I don't know, week 14 or whatever, and the Colts come in, they're a one-win team, the Jets are headed for the playoffs, and they end up putting up a bomb, and they lose to the Colts, and you know how that season finished out, came up short. So sometimes in the NFL, teams were never expected to win a game. And you know what? I went into this game, I think the Jets could keep it close, simply because it's just that's the way the NFL is. But when I heard they're dealing with these COVID issues, now they got four tight ends out, I think they got to throw their game plan out the window, and they're going to have to set up a whole new plan for today. And I think Greg Williams may be able to take advantage of it, even with the cornerback situation. And I mean, listen, I'm not blind. I know what's going on with the Jets. They're a really bad team right now. But the bottom line here is it's the NFL, and they're professionals. They're going to go out and play. Donald's coming back. And you're getting Mims back. And you know what? I get it. He's been limited. He hasn't been able to practice. But he has speed. And if those hamstrings hold up, at least you can make the Bills honest. Bills defense play honest. And maybe Sam could hit underneath stuff. So I'm picking the Jets 23-20. And a Justin Fields question real quick to both of you. I know Trevor Lawrence is getting all the headlines. But, man, you know, I saw a little of him last year. I watched him yesterday. His accuracy and his mechanics and his arm and just the way he is, his pocket presence and the way he moves out of the pocket. You know what? All the Jets fans, they're banged on Trevor Lawrence, and so am I. But if I ended up with Justin Fields, I have no problem with that.
Ira, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Mike?
Yeah, Ira, good morning. Good to hear from you. A couple things. Going back to 97, we still had a shot against it was Detroit. Leon Johnson threw an interception in the back of the end zone. And, boy, I still remember that because we could have gone to the playoffs after the team the year before only won one game. So appreciate the throwback. A couple thoughts. I see it similar. Like with Mims coming back and Perryman, you have guys on the perimeter now that could actually make plays. And hopefully, you know, that allows the offense to be more of a full field offense and things aren't as compressed. And as it relates to Fields, you know, I saw him last year. I went to a training camp practice for Ohio State back in 19, and he came out on the field, and I was shocked what he looked like. He looked like Cam Newton to me, and all I could think to myself as I'm watching practice is, this Jacob Fromm must be Superman, because if Jacob Fromm beat out Justin Fields at Georgia, like, that one still makes no sense to me, because Fields to me was... I couldn't believe he couldn't win the job at Georgia. So I think he's absolutely, you know, the next quarterback up. And especially where the way the sport's going, he was really accurate yesterday. He's a runner. But more than anything else, he is a really well-built guy. And I think he will come into the league being able to withstand the rigors of the NFL.
Interesting. Here's my thing, though. I know you and I have talked about Trevor Lawrence and the Jets moving on from Sam Darnold with Lawrence. Do you feel that, let's say, hypothetically speaking, they get the number two pick? Do you feel that the Jets should move on from Sam Darnold for Fields?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you look at even we could throw the statistics out, but like yards per attempt, like they're last almost in any meaningful category. And you know, for me, I got to see it with Sam Darnold. Again, we can have the excuses that, well, look, we don't have Lev Bell anymore or Crowder's out. But again, we're going to be talking about the Buffalo Bills here, who have lost, you know, a number of tight ends. They're going to be out. You know, John Brown's going to be out. Like, show me the team that's been perfect. Like, I think a good way to say this is look at Carson Wentz the other night. They have one offensive lineman, Jason Kelce, one. They have, you know, been decimated on the perimeter, and somehow, and maybe they shouldn't have, but they won that game. Somehow they won that game, and to me that's greatness. So at some point, Sam Darnold has to say, I don't care what I have, we're going to go win a couple games here, and then we could have that conversation as, hey, where is it with Justin Fields? But until he does that, the ultimate statistic for a quarterback, Anita, is wins.
Weezy, yeah. I'm a late bloomer, 3 year on the scene. 20 racks don't feel like nothing to me. Cape on the streets, it turned me.
It is New York game day, hour three here on 98.7 ESPN. And without further ado, we know the Jets are taking on the Buffalo Bills. We're going to take you to Buffalo. Touch base with Marcel Louis-Jacques. I love that name. Marcel, thank you so much for joining myself and Mike Tannenbaum this morning on New York Game Day. How you doing?
I'm good. Anita, Mike, good to be on. Thanks for having me. And I appreciate the flawless pronunciation there. You'd be surprised how many times that gets butchered.
Well, let's thank our producer, Nikki, who of course confirmed it before we came on, but thank you. So let's dive into this Bills team. Two very disappointing losses. Right, Marcel, against the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs. I really feel that this is a game that's kind of like exactly what the doctor ordered for the Buffalo Bills. But, you know, and this is the first time you're on my show. I'm somewhat of a degenerate. The shark money is going on the Jets today. So, you know, the wise guys in Vegas feel that this could be a get-right game for the Jets. Your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills' mindset right now, and how confident are you in this team walking away with a win today?
There's a little bit of frustration in Buffalo because this is such a veteran-heavy defense, and it's been such a successful defense over the past 2 years that when it struggles like this, you can't help but to kind of, you know, look in the mirror and really scratch your head. Like, what's going wrong? And I guess you can kind of boil it down to a couple of things. Losing star Lotulelei, excuse me, was a big loss in the middle of their defensive line. Losing Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson, it's proven to be a bigger loss than initially believed. And they just haven't been healthy. Tremaine Edmonds is battling injuries. Matt Milano battling injuries. Tre'Davious White, too. And they've just been blessed with good health, really, the past couple of years, that you'd almost think, like, wow, I guess that luck kind of finally ran out. But at the other side of the ball, it's still a strong offense, despite a couple of subpar showings, and especially against a Jets defense that isn't putting up much resistance against opponents this year. This does feel like a get-right game for Buffalo, and it really couldn't come at a better time, because if you don't want to lose three in a row in a tight division battle in a year where you have been publicly saying that you're all in on trying to win the AFC East. You don't want to lose three in a row and have things at risk of spiraling out of control. So, yeah, this is their get-right game there. But I have been hearing the same things that you have as well, that the New York just believe that they can win this game. They're feeling confident that if there's ever a shot at knocking off Buffalo or getting that win, it's against a really a very injured Buffalo Bills team that's kind of limping into this showdown.
Can you give us your thoughts on Josh Allen? Just you know, big picture overview. You know, certainly started off really well, had some bumps in the road, but can you give us your thoughts on his development?
I think that this is a guy who, you know, after speaking with his offseason QB coach, with Jordan Palmer, he said something interesting, that Josh Allen came into the NFL with the least valuable reps out of anybody of his draft class. You know, playing in a mid-major conference, you know, he didn't get the big-time bowl games, the national air times and the big stadiums. So he had a lot of work to do. And I think that he has developed more than any other quarterback in that class. That being said, like I said before, he also had the longest way to go. I think we've seen kind of that ceiling. We've seen the potential of what he can do over those first 4 weeks. But we've also seen he's got that tendency to slip back into 2018-2019 Josh Allen, where, you know, a team can maybe win in spite of him, but he's not doing enough to actively help the team get a victory. And that's kind of been the catalyst for Buffalo this season with their defensive struggles, is they need Josh Allen to be an MVP candidate. And that is not something they had asked him to do over the first couple of years. Is he ready to do that? Obviously, we've seen signs, we've seen glimpses of it, but we still haven't seen that he's able to consistently do it week in and week out when everything else around him is crumbling. Like, he hasn't shown really that ability to week in, week out, be the driving force behind the team's victory. He's got the potential. He just has to do it more consistently.
Marcel, let's talk about that Buffalo Bills defense, because there's a lot of injuries there, right? No Josh Norman today. Tre'Davious White's been dealing with a back issue. Milano, the linebacker. If you can, give us an update in regard to who do you think is going to be active and who's not.
I do expect Tre'Davious White to play. I would also expect Matt Milano to play as well. But beyond that, like you said, Josh Norman is a no-go. I think that Cam Lewis, the backup cornerback, second-year guy, he's been practicing with his left wrist and left hand kind of taped into a club, basically, is the only way to describe it. I would expect him to play as long as he is comfortable doing so. And he was out there all week at practice, so, you know, it seems that all systems are go there. Obviously, no Cody Ford, so I would expect to see Ike Bucker starting there at left guard with Brian Winters at right guard. And this is something, you know, the Bills have prepared for over the past couple of years. They really put a lot of value into linemen who offer position flexibility, guys who can play inside and outside. So losing guys like John Feliciano, losing Cody Ford, releasing Quentin Spain, that stings on the surface, but they've built their depth for this, guys that kind of move around on that line. But like we said before in this conversation, they should be very thankful to play the Jets. They're not going to say so publicly, but you got to be very thankful to play the Jets, because if week 7 and 8 were switched around and you're playing the Patriots right now instead of the Jets with this kind of roster, then you're in a little bit of trouble.
How about offensively, Marcel, today with, you know, all the tight ends being out? How do you think, from a personnel deployment, how do you think Coach Daboll is going to attack the Jets?
It seems bad anytime you've got four players of the same position out. But the Bills have not used their tight end in the passing game like that anyways. And Dawson Knox has been, you know, he's been hit or miss as far as whether he's healthy enough to play over the first 6 weeks. So I wouldn't expect to see much different than what we've seen over the first six games. A lot of empty sets, a lot of four wide receiver sets, and a pass-heavy game plan. They need to get this run game going, because right now they're the only, I think they're one of two teams in the league right now that hasn't had a player run for 75 yards in a single game. And it is kind of mind-boggling considering Devin Singletary averaged about 5 yards per carry as a rookie last season, but he hasn't been able to get it going. Zach Moss has been injured, and when he has been in, you see the rookie lights in his eyes. You know, you see him hesitate to read his blocks. You see him hesitate to hit his lanes. And I think that's led to some of these struggles on the ground for Buffalo. But, you know, this is a pass-heavy team right now. And that's not something you'd expect to say out of Buffalo, not since Jim Kelly left town or retired. But I would expect more of the same against the New York Jets, regardless of who's in or out.
Marcel, last question for me, and this is more so pertaining to fantasy as well as gambling, and that is John Brown not expected to play today. I love Gabriel Davis. A lot of people, I think he's flying low on the radar, stepping in for John Brown when John Brown is not active. Longest reception is 19 and a half yards. I love the over in that. And I think my own personal opinion, I envision him being a really big part of this offensive game plan today. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, he's not a burner like John Brown is, but they haven't been afraid to take their shots with him downfield. They trust him completely. They've put a lot on his plate and played him at every position on that, every receiver position, and they trust him to take over a full workload if necessary. So I would expect to see him get some looks. That you said the longest reception is 19 and a half yards. I'd probably take the over on that. Also, just take a look at whatever prop bet Cole Beasley has, because right now he is their number two receiver. He is their 1B to Stephon Diggs 1A. With teams playing a lot more zone and forcing Buffalo to take the underneath routes and take, you know, these short safety routes, that's Cole Beasley's game. That's why they pay him. That's why they brought him to town. He's second on the team in receiving yards. He's gotten at least six targets or a touchdown in every game so far this season. And I really feel like I've been kind of banging this gavel for a few weeks now, but still not enough people are talking about the potential season Cole Beasley's having. He's looking like he's about to turn in his first career 1,000 receiving yard season. And Josh Allen trusts him. He called him their most consistent guy in that room. So whatever money you can put on Cole Beasley's production, I take a hard and serious look at it.
I love it.
You made one other interesting point that I just want to get your thoughts on, which is, you know, they play New England next week, and I've been in those situations where you're trying to manage the roster and injuries going, it's always publicly, you know, 1 week at a time, but I could promise you inside those conversations are discernibly different. And do you think there's a chance that some of these decisions, like let's say Tre'Davious White being active or not today, do you think they'll factor that in to the extent that if they think that it's close, maybe hold them out one more week because maybe they feel like they could beat the Jets without White, where obviously they'll need him for New England?
I think it's possible, but I think it would be more likely maybe if Josh Norman wasn't already ruled out or if Levi Wallace wasn't already on injured reserve. But without Tre'Davious White, then you're looking at kind of a ragtag group of cornerbacks there. I think they like Dane Jackson. They like Cam Lewis. They like Saran Neal, none of which are really NFL starters at outside right now in their career. So it's a tough gamble. It's a tough gamble. But I think in this case, the risk might outweigh the reward as far as if you play without Tre'Davious White and you sit these players that were close to playing but not quite 100%, and you go out and lose to the Jets, I think that can do more harm in this locker room than good. So, you know, it's interesting to think about. I think it's maybe on the table, but probably, like I said, more likely if they weren't already so thin at cornerback.
Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Really do appreciate it. By the way, those Beasley prop bets, 4.5 receptions, over under 54.5 over under receiving yards. So, in this break, I'm gonna put some money on that because of you. Thank you so much.
All right, hey, hope it works out. I'm confident it will for you, and appreciate you having me on, guys.
Clearly,
Marcel, whether or not you come back on the show will be outcome determinative based on Cole's performance today.
That is so true. That is so accurate. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You got it.
Anita's three locks of the week.
All right, here we go. Mike, you ready? You ready,
yes.
Boo? All right.
Ready to roll.
Like I said, I am all over the dogs. So this week's, I guess, theme is Road Warriors. Okay. So probably here we go. My favorite play. I'm playing a two-team tease here, Mike. I love the Panthers plus 13, and I love the Bears plus 12. So Panthers in New Orleans, the Bears at the Rams. Follow me here, the Saints, No Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders. It's going to be tough for them to play small ball without those two guys on the field. Meanwhile, this might be an interesting stat for you. The Saints defense, they're allowing 3 red zone touchdowns a game. How about that? You gotta try really hard to be able to do that. As for the Bears, Goff, 2 career starts against them, no bueno. 50% completion percentage, 0 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and below 50 QB rating. So for me, this is about the Saints not being healthy on the offensive side of the ball, Carolina having enough firepower offensively to stay in the game, and for the Bears, their defense against Goff. This is my best bet on the table. A two-team tease, Panthers plus 13, Bears plus 12. Your thoughts?
Well, one at a time here. I think New Orleans is going to be fading in the NFC South, much for the reasons you said. You know, you look at their skill players, it's not the same. And I think it just fundamentally goes back to the quarterback. Look, if the Chargers didn't miss that field goal, the Chargers go into New Orleans and beat them. And we could say that Justin Herbert outplayed Drew Brees. So that makes a lot of sense. I'm not as sold on the Bears right now. Like, their record is, you know, you got to give them credit, but I need to see it a little bit more. I think the Rams can score. The Bears are playing really good defense. So, Anita, I'm kind of, like, lukewarm on your teaser. Like, my toe's a little bit in, but I just don't know.
Well, that's better than most days. Usually, you're at least, I mean, your pinky toe isn't even in. It's not even in the waters. So that's to me, I know, you know, I didn't bury the lead. I started with my strongest matchup, and that's really it. My play number 2, again, Road Warriors. I love the Packers today, and this line now has dropped to 3. A big reason why is because running back Aaron Jones is dealing with a calf issue. But are you familiar with AJ Dillon, second round draft pick? What are you, before I dive into all the reasons why I like the Green Bay Packers, what are your thoughts on AJ Dillon, second round draft pick, running back for the Packers?
Yeah, he was a productive high school player out of Connecticut, went to BC. One question about the fit there was, don't think his skill set, he's not great catching the ball, but he's a big, powerful runner, kind of like a Chris Ivory type. And, you know, when you look at what's going on in Green Bay, they're getting no production out of their first 3 picks, which is Jordan Love, Zagora, who is a flex tight end fullback, and A.J. Dillon. So could be a big opportunity for Dillon today, and good runner between the tackles.
Yeah, this guy apparently has got tree trunks for legs. And apparently they really love him, and he's really impressed a lot of the coaches at practice. So from everything that I'm reading right now is that Aaron Jones is going to give it a go, but especially in fantasy, I think it's too risky, guys. So I like A.J. Dillon here. Anytime touchdown and the Packers to win at plus 200, by the way. But that's not my bet. My bet is the Packers minus 3. The reason this was at 3.5 this morning, it dropped down to 3 because of the Aaron Jones injury. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, man, when a dude uses 5 fingers for his McAllen 12, you know he was really ticked off last week. And this is a Packers team. They were 5-0 against the spread after a loss. The Texans defense, 30th in total defense, last against the run, and 28th in QB pressures. That's what really got to Aaron Rodgers last week. I just think this is a good spot for the Packers. I like the Packers minus 3 today, Mike.
Yeah, I could see that. Aaron Rodgers is, again, if he's not the MVP, he's certainly, you know, in that conversation. I think Aaron Jones is really a great player, though, so I think maybe that's a little bit of a underrated sort of, you know, like, I think A.J. Dillon's going to be good, but I don't think he's in the class of Aaron Jones. So I think that's something we ought to keep a close eye on. And I don't know, 3 points on the road. I like it. I don't love it.
All right. And last but not least, again, we're on Zoom. You see my T-shirt. Mr. Unlimited. That's right. I'm wearing a Russell Wilson T-shirt for my hits on Daily Wager this morning. This is a Seattle team in the last 7 seasons coming off of a bye, 6-1, and they've won by an average of 10 points each game. Meanwhile, Arizona on a short work week, Seattle, sneaky good defense against the run, by the way. PFF has them ranked 3rd overall in the NFL. There's a chance that Snacks Harrison is active today for that defense to try to contain Murray. And the Cards, their defense, let's be honest, who have they faced? With all due respect, Dwayne Haskins, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton. This will be the best competition going up against Mr. Unlimited that they've seen all season long. And DeAndre Hopkins has been dealing with an ankle issue, did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday. So I love Seattle here, -3 against the Cardinals. Mike?
Yeah, I'm with you for a lot of the same reasons. Snacks Harrison was somebody we had at the Jets. He's a very underrated player. He has really good range laterally for a big man. So I think Seattle is the better team here. And I like Kyler Murray. I think anybody could look good against that Dallas defense. So I'm with you. I'll take Russell Wilson over Kyler Murray.
Fantastic. All right. So at least I'm one for two. One you really like. The other two, you're lukewarm.
You're all right? In. You got the shirt on and everything. So
I do. I have my Mr. Unlimited shirt on. I love some prop bets really quick before we get to the calls. Some prop bets out there that I like as well that we haven't touched on with the Saints. Again, no Michael Thomas, no Emmanuel Sanders, Tre'Quan Smith. I like the overs in receptions and receiving yards for Tre'Quan Smith. Also, here's another one, Mike. You know, I was watching Get Up this week, and you guys were talking about, hey, you know, why not give Jameis Winston some playing time here? And I text Greeny right away, and I said, Greeny, Jameis Winston isn't the play. The play is Taysom Hill. I don't think people realize how much Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill and how I think this is a Saints team that is gearing up for Taysom Hill to be their starting quarterback next year, more so than Jameis Winston. Again, just my two cents and based on what I'm hearing, and Jay Glazer is reporting the same thing. I look at Taysom Hill scoring a touchdown, anytime touchdown score today for the Saints, and also for the Panthers, Curtis Samuel. They've been trying to get him involved. He's going to be active today. Anytime touchdown score for Curtis Samuel, and also I'm going to play Curtis Samuel to score a touchdown, and the Panthers win straight up. Just for some prop bets in that Saints game. Let's take some calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Dre in Jersey City. Dre, you're up. Welcome in.
Hi, Amanda. Good morning. I have a question for my running back position. Now, I'm locked with Kamara, my second running back position, though. Should I start Justin Jackson? Melvin Gordon, Giovanni Bernard.
I love Justin Jackson today. To me, Justin Jackson today is a must start. I love the Chargers today.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it, Dre. Good luck. Let's go to Mike in Jersey. Mike, welcome in.
Hey, Anita. Great show as always. I want to talk about the Antonio Brown situation, but I have to say you really made me laugh yesterday. Whatever Tommy wants, Tommy gets. Like he's some sort of Brady, some sort of spoiled brat. You know, what Tom Brady wants is to win a Super Bowl championship. It's the same thing that the Bucks want. And I think this move, although it has a lot of risk, is something they really had to do. I don't think you can afford to let a Seattle or a New Orleans or a Green Bay pick up Antonio Brown. And I think this probably works out to be a great move for Tampa.
Yeah, listen, Mike, I get it. Like, to me right now, and thank you for your phone call, to me right now, the Bucs are the team to beat to win this. Like, Mike, I don't know about you, but, like, I would imagine, I think it would be really, really difficult for Vegas odds makers to put a number on a Bucks Kansas City Chiefs game right now. Like if let's say assuming Antonio Brown eventually becomes active and everybody's healthy and you know whatever the case may be, let's say that's a Super Bowl, right? I think it'd be really hard to handicap that game. Don't you?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Again, I would put Tennessee in this discussion as well, but I think Tampa Bay, the thing that's interesting to me is when Antonio Brown goes into the slot and you're in the red zone and you're trying to figure out, you have Gronk on the line of scrimmage. You're going to be in 11 personnel, right? So you're going to have either Ronald Jones or McCoy in the game, possibly Fournette. You're going to have Gronk, and then you're going to have Mike Evans on the outside, Godwin on the outside, and you're going to have Antonio Brown in the slot. And how do you defend that? Like, you can't double everybody. You're going to double team Gronk. You're going to double team Mike Evans. And now it's Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin one-on-one. And those guys are really hard to cover. I just think if those guys are all healthy and they could buy into the team environment, I think Tampa Bay is the best team in the NFC.
It's really fascinating. And really now the biggest storyline is, you know, what happens with this NFL investigation with the second accusation, and when will, at what point will Antonio Brown be able to suit up and play for the Tampa Bay Bucs? Really, that's the big storyline now moving forward.
Whatever Lola
Tommy wants,
Lola
Tommy gets.
And little man, little Lola wants.
Perfect.
You.
Perfect song for Tom Brady, right? Come on, dude. That's a dedication today from all of us here at New York Game Day to Tom Brady. Whatever Tommy wants, Tommy gets. This is from Damn Yankees. I thought this was from West Side Story yesterday. Damn Yankees. I should know that. I'm here in New York. What's wrong with me? Are you a Broadway guy? You don't see, like you're just, there's no reaction here. I don't, what's going on with you? There's none at all.
No,
it's like Bueller.
I like musicals. Mm-hmm. I can't say this one in particular, but I like Broadway.
I love Broadway. I miss it. And I pray for all those Broadway actors looking to get back to work. And as soon as you do, please know that I'll be the first one in your theaters. Of course.
You have a lot of different tastes. Golf.
With betting, a vaccine.
Wine. Broadway. Very eclectic.
it's interesting. You know, I'm from Miami, and so I love Broadway. I think it's one of those things, like, you know, where, you know, if you grow up and you have the access to Broadway, maybe you underestimate, or maybe you don't take advantage of it, or maybe you just, you know, you don't appreciate it as much. You know, I golfed on Wednesday. I was mesmerized by the trees and the foliage, like everything, like just, it's just like, I found myself daydreaming and looking at the trees, and, you know, they're yellow and they're orange and they're red. And, you know, I'm playing with dudes who are like, come on, Anita, what's wrong with you? I'm like, can we take a picture? Like, this is magnificent. Oh, come on, hit the damn ball, Anita. You know, like, all right, you guys just don't appreciate it. So anyway, long story short, you know what time it is. It is time for Tannenbaum's Bomb.
Bomb is about to be dropped. It's Tannenbaum's Bomb of the Week.
What is it, Mike T? Give it to us.
It is the Tennessee Titans 30, the Pittsburgh Steelers 20. As Tennessee,
whoa!
Tennessee works its way into the discussion of, are they the best team in all of football, led by none other than Ryan Tannehill in a convincing 2-score win over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That is a bomb. It is now time for our predictions.
Who's going to win? Let's do some predictions.
All right, since we know the Giants, they already lost to the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday night. It's just one really prediction to make. Bills, Jets, what's the final score here, Mike?
I'm going to go New York Football Jets 21, Buffalo Bills 20. And we talked about it for the better part of 3 hours. You know, this really sets up well. The Jets are getting some players back. And if I'm a Jet fan, guys, I would just tell you this. You know, things haven't gone well, but keep an eye on Denzel Mims. He was a guy that really was working his way up a lot of draft boards in the spring. He's been hurt. But, you know, with him and Perryman out there, those are two bigger, faster receivers. And it'll be interesting to see how Sam Darnold does with them.
Interesting. I'm going 27-17 Bills. I still think the Bills pull it out. This Jets team is just god awful. We've got about 2 minutes, 2:30 left in the show. We've got a lot of people who want some fantasy help. So, you know, don't ask how we are. Mike and I are doing great, all things considered, of course. So just give us quick one fantasy question and we will try to answer as quickly as possible and run through this. Okay, so let's start with Berto in Elizabeth. Go, what you got?
Hey, guys, I'm dealing with RB issue. I have Casey, Dylan, Moss, and T right now because I lost Saquon and Chuck.
Berto, I'm really sorry. We got to let you go. We've got a bad connection. We couldn't hear you, and I apologize. Hit me up on Twitter, man. I promise I'll respond to your question. Let's go to Chris in Montauk. Chris, go.
I got a quick one, but then hopefully you can answer another one. Other. I had to play either.
Nikki said, "No, dude, come prepared. Like your license out of your wallet." Let's go to Joe in Jersey. Joe, you're up.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Either do I bench or start Josh Jacobs as a flex, and Teddy Bridgewater or Ryan Tannehill?
I know Mike's going to tell you Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill.
I don't have a problem with that. Who would you play instead of Josh? Who would you play instead of Josh Jacobs? Joe.
Probably Corey Davis.
No. I think matchup isn't great, but the volume's going to be there. Let's go to David in Jersey. David, you're up.
Hey, Anita. Due to a bye week, Jamal Williams, Zach Moss.
I think you got to go Jamal Williams, but sneaky play with A.J. Dillon. I'm just saying.
I know. One more. C.D. Lamb, Cooper Kupp.
I don't like Kupp's matchup, so I'd go CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, and thank you for your phone call, David. CeeDee Lamb has a better matchup out of the slot than Cooper Kupp does today. Alana, end it strong with us. Go.
Hi. Should I switch this up for T. Higgins?
I love, and Ileana, thank you so much for your phone call. I love T. Higgins. Let me tell you something. One of the best storylines this year, Mike, is the rookie wide receivers just totally crushing it and blowing it up in this league. And I love T. Higgins, and I love the combination and the chemistry we're seeing between him and Joe Burrow. Right?
Yeah. Great. Absolutely. Great formula for years to come. Hopefully T. Higgins becomes the successor to A.J. Green.
Mike, always love working with you on my Sunday mornings, and thank you so much to your son joining us as well. Enjoy your Sunday fun day, week 7 of the NFL. Nikki, great job producing, love. You're the best. Everybody, enjoy your week 7.
New York Game Day with Chris Canty, Mike Tannenbaum, and Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.